know, I'm just sure glad for what I chose. I really am. Man. Could have been so much different. And, you know, I thought about preaching about how the righteous scarcely be saved and how close you come to missing it all. You know, I made mention this morning about Saul and David, God dealing with David through Saul, and how that it affected so many more people than just David. It wasn't just David. Yeah. David's choice made a difference for a lot of other people. Do you ever wonder how much difference your choice will make? You know, you make your choices when you're young. Need to remember that. You make choices that affect your whole life and not just you. It's going to affect all of your posterity and others besides. I never dreamed the world would be like it is now. You know, I really didn't ever think. Nobody did. Nobody dreamed of this. And most people through every generation have always thought, you know, all things will continue as they have since the beginning of creation until now. And we never dreamed that it would be like it is now. Never dreamed I'd see my grandchildren in a world like this. So I'm very glad for what I got back yonder, what I chose. And, you know, thankful that when I made up my mind, I made up my mind. You know, when I said I've decided to follow Jesus, I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. It wasn't a trial thing. It wasn't I was going to do it as long as everything went well. God blessed me and was with me and had other people with me. That wasn't, no. I made up my mind, so. Hope you got that kind of assurance in your heart, too. I hope you've really, really made up your mind. Have you? Not everybody has. Not everybody does. See? Like we talked about Saul this morning, he never did. He never did. Never did. You don't want to wait too long. I'm telling you. Time's running out, and you better be a making up your mind. All right, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, let me start over again. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. There we go. I'm going to read verse 5 through 9. I can do a lot better if I get this up here where I can read it. I've been having lots of trouble with noise on the microphone. I've been putting it on my tie, and I move too much, and it sounds like somebody's thumping the mic all the time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." All right, let me talk to you just a few minutes here tonight about rejoicing with heaviness. How about that? Rejoicing with heaviness. All right, Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the good song I just sang. Thank you for the word of God we've just read. Please bless it now as bread to our souls. Help us, Father, to be encouraged by this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, the Christian rejoices in what is to come. Not so much in the here and now. Now, we got plenty to rejoice about here and now. We can look around our family and our blessings, and yeah, we got plenty to rejoice about here and now. But there's always a shadow over it somehow or another. There's always a cloud over everything here. What we're looking forward to, what we read in the scripture here, he's looking forward to when it's not going to be like this. When it's going to be, we're going to be delivered from this veil of sorrow. We're going to be out of it. So the Christian, if you're going to live the Christian life, and if you're going to make it through and be victorious, you're going to have to learn to raise your eyes up above all of the surroundings and keep your eye on eternity. I remember telling her that long time ago. If you just don't, if you don't get that developed in you and get that fixed in your thinking, and have that as a place you go often, every time there's trouble in your life, you ain't going to make it through. And if you do, you're going to grub it through hard. You know, the Christian looks ahead. The Christian lives. I mean, if you look in Hebrews chapter 11, you see that in all of them. You see where Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, they all look for a city. Not a city on earth. They wasn't wandering around, where's this city at, where everything's perfect? We're looking for the utopia here on earth. That ain't what they were looking for. They were looking for that city in eternity where God dwells, where he's preparing a place for us. They were pilgrims and strangers in this world. They didn't set up stakes here. You know, they didn't drive anything down. Claim this as their inheritance, not this earth. No, they looked ahead. They were looking ahead. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice. Do you greatly rejoice in what's to come? We don't sing about heaven near as much as the old timers used to, do we? Modern new religion, they don't either. They don't talk much about heaven. If they do, it's some kind of fantasy land where everything's perfect. And it just goes, it's just a simple continuation of life as it is here on earth. I saw a picture the other day and I showed it to her and I said, see how off everybody is. It was a picture of heaven and it was just a great big family reunion and everybody was just hugging one another and it was all just wonderful. And it was just, you know, it was just like you was at the park and having a family reunion and getting together with everybody you hadn't seen in a long time. Lord, help us. I hope you don't have a picture of heaven as that. This thing is not people-centered, people-oriented. It's God-oriented. I mean, that's what it's about. If we think of heaven that way, we'll think of the life here that way. See, the churches are people-oriented. Everything's geared to please and help people to feel comfortable and happy here, with not too much mention of the hereafter, eternity. It's not going to be so much about all that. It's going to be about the fact that we're with God. How in the world? I mean, I know that I'll see loved ones who've gone on before. That's wonderful. But my, how that pales in the knowledge of the fact that I'll be face to face with God. How can you forget God and look forward to seeing your loved ones above everything else? That's what everybody wants to go to heaven for. They want to see their mom and their dad and their grandpa and all of that. Why do you want to go to heaven? What is your incentive? What is the greatest thing you're looking forward to in heaven? Seeing your relatives? This went on before you. Well, what does that say about Jesus? I mean, honestly, how do you think that makes him feel? He's second to all these other people you want to see. I'm telling you, you can just go on believing it if you want to, but you're going to be in for a, a rude awakening. Yes. He's waited for all of these thousands of years to have us with Him. That He's prepared a place for us so that we can be with Him. And He's waited and waited. And then we get there and we don't even... We got to see somebody else first before we want to see Him. I don't think that's pleasing to the Lord. I think being able to see our loved ones again is just a fringe benefit of being able to be with God.
That's right.
Well, I know, you know, people can't receive that because people are of no understanding. They're very shallow or empty of understanding, so they reject what I just said. They think heaven, they're determined that heaven is just a big family reunion. And we're just going to go on picking the banjo and riding our bikes and we're going to keep... I mean, that's what heaven's about. No, it's not. All the things of this earth are going to be passed away. What does the song say? Only what was done for Christ will last. What is that fire that's going to burn up everything? All the wood, hay, and stubble. What is all that about? And all these things that people hold so dear and they cling to, and it has the affections of their hearts that are set on things of this world that they think are going to be in heaven too. My goodness, people think their dog's going to heaven now. Honestly, that's a big thing in Christianity now, is the debate over whether their pet dog is going to be in heaven with them. And most of the preachers are assuring them that they certainly will. So, they're looking forward to going to heaven to be with their dog more than they're looking forward to going to heaven to be with Jesus. Bad wrong. You better get your affection set on things above, and that's where you got to have your eyes and your mind and your hopes if you're going to make it through this deal. We rejoice in the fact that we're saved from a depraved and wicked world to a wonderful eternity. That's what I'm looking forward to, is being yanked out of this dark, violent, evil, hateful, blind, God-hating world. We rejoice in the fact that it's a sure thing, and it's not something that's unsure or any doubt about it. It's as sure as everything in this world is right now. It's a sure thing. This is what awaits the child of God. Yeah, we're going to go. He said, if it were not so, I would not have told you. But He said, I'm telling you, if I go away, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I'm coming to get you. It's going to be all right. That's our hope. That's the blessed hope. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what gets us through this thing. That's how the martyrs could be tied to a stake or stand by a stake without being tied and burn up in a fire. Have a noose put around their neck and hung and praising God as they went. Because they knew they had that blessed assurance. And they were looking beyond this. The most important thing to them was not to live a little longer down here. The most important thing to them was that Jesus was theirs. And they belonged to Him. And He was waiting for them. And eternity was sure. Their eternity was secure. That's what gave them the strength, the grace to get through those kind of things. And it's the same with us, with you, and with me. You never make it through if you love this life. If all that matters to you is to keep a living down here, then you'll never make it. You got to get to the point. That deal about Jesus saying that if you lose your life, you give it up for my sake, you'll find it. That's what it means. You got to give up this determination to live here as long as you can, whatever the case. I mean, whatever it takes. We've talked about it quite a bit. You know, it's not the thought of dying that bothers me at all. I'm honest with you. What the only thing about it that bothers me is the ones that'll be left behind. The only thing that bothers me is my absence in their lives. For my sake, for what's in store for me, I see it just like Paul. He said, as for me, he said, I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord. That's what I want to do. But he said, it's more expedient for you. That I stay. And he said, if that's what the Lord wants, then that's the way it'll be, and I'll be happy with it. The Christian will often have heaviness in this present circumstances, in this present world. You might as well get used to that. You might as well believe what I'm telling you. Get ready. I mean, face life as it is in reality. It's not going to be a cruise trip from here on out to heaven. Not in this life. No, you're going to have heaviness often. He said, manifold temptations. That means a bunch of them. And a bunch of different kinds of them. I mean, you're going to be bombarded with temptation, trials, trouble. Not easy. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. Heaviness means distress and grief and sorrow. It means to be burdened and carrying a load. I think when Jesus comes, I think if the trumpet sounds, and I've told you this before, but I think the first thing that you're going to recognize immediately is that that burden is gone. That heavy burden. The struggle in this world. And I'm not talking about the struggle with sin in my own self and I just can't keep from it. No, I ain't talking about that at all. Just being out from under this dark cloud of sin that's in this world. The opposition, the contention, the disdain, the opposition from the world and from family and from everything. The struggle of life that sin has caused this world and this life to be is going to be gone in the twinkling of an eye. Free. I mean, to be free instantly from all of this forever. That's why it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'll bet you there'll be people shouting that never shouted very much. I don't believe you're going to be able to help it. You know, there's times when you just can't help it. You're going to shout. Because you're free. Free at last. This is the picture of the true Christian life that the Bible paints for us here. That there's quite a bit of heaviness. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's quite a different thing, or it's quite a different image here than what is portrayed by the modern version of the gospel. It's most often presented now as a pep rally, or a hootenanny, or some kind of big, happy get-together where everybody just has a wonderful time. Christian life's presented as a life of shouting and praise and overwhelming emotions. We used to go to camp meetings, mission conference, and revival meetings. We used to do that a lot, and that seemed to me like that was always the goal. I mean, if it went on for a week, Thursday night was the time you shouted her out. Because by that time, everything was worked up into that emotional state. Yep. And that was the goal. I mean, if it fizzled on Thursday, it was just a bad meeting. Something was wrong. Had sin in the camp. Didn't go through. That's what we've come to believe that the Christian life is about. That you just work up this emotional frenzy, and it reaches a point of where everybody just loses it, and for a little while, and that's the peak of Christian experience. It's the best you can get. I mean, that's what it's all about. And that's what you look for in life. That's what you strive for and try to. That's why you operate a church and your meetings and everything. And that's what you're shooting for. Is that right there? You know, I used to go to them and I'd come away and feeling bad. I wasn't encouraged. I was discouraged by it all. So, well, you just ain't right. No, I think I was right, after all. Back then, I didn't think of it. I thought, man, something must be wrong with me because I just can't understand this. I don't understand this. We got to go back to work. We got to go back out there. Tomorrow is going to be normal life again, and it ain't like this. What do these people do? Well, I found out they went home, got depressed, and they cheated on their spouses, and they broke up their families, and they did all kinds of stuff, and went to prison. And you know, I've been in church services with people who are in prison for life now. I found out a lot of that stuff, and I figured out, you know, maybe I wasn't so wrong. No, I don't think it was. I'm telling you, you just need to get some stability in your life by realizing what the reality is about being a Christian. It's just every day facing the troubles and the temptations and the trials. And a lot of times you're going to have heaviness through manifold temptations. But you got something to look forward to beyond all this. See, your hope's not here in this life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. You ain't going to get nowhere just hoping for this life to be ecstasy. It's not heaven here. We're headed there, and we've got the assurance of it, but this ain't going to be this. I mean, we're going to suffer, buddy. Lots of things in this life. The sooner you recognize that, except that that's the way it is, and this is the road to heaven, even though it's rough and it's not pleasant, then your chances of enduring to the end are going to be a lot better. Baptists make fun of that. Make fun of Jesus' words when he said that. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. They mock and laugh at it because their doctrines are so precise that they've got it figured out. You don't have to do that. You got saved, you're going to heaven. It don't matter whether you want to or not. Don't matter whether you endure or not. That's works, and we know that's of the devil for sure. No, you better believe the words of Jesus. Now, if he said that, I believe it. He didn't say it off the top of his head just carelessly. Every word he said was true. And I ain't going to make fun of it. And I ain't going to put my doctrines that some come out of some theological book override or annul or make of no effect what Jesus said. We ought to give the more earnest heed to what he said. Hebrews chapter 1. All right. Now, if the Bible's true, you think the Bible's true? Then the true Christian will experience a lot of heaviness. And this is not his permanent condition, but it says for a season. Did you see that? For a season. Wherefore you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's a temporary thing, what we're going through now. What we're going to have in eternity is not a temporary thing. It's eternal, permanent, forever. Forever shall we be with the Lord. It's going to be okay forever. No more trouble. No more devil. No more sickness. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more hating. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see where Paul was looking when he wrote those words? Was he looking around him at all the trouble and everybody else and how discouraging it is when nobody wants to do right and nobody will be faithful? Was that where he was looking? Our light and affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Where's he looking? In eternity. He's looking to eternity. All this that we're doing, all this that we're enduring, all this that we're having to deal with now is counting for us in eternity. We're investing. You know, when you got your little children, man, they're a handful, but you're investing in the future. You need to remember that. Those little ones that just make messes and they're into everything and they're just so, they try you so hard. Someday they're going to be an adult that's going to be somebody. And you're investing now. We were talking last night, you know, we know some folks that don't have any children, never had any children, and now they're getting old and, man, sad. Because they didn't invest there. They invested in investments and cars and real estate. And they may have a big bankroll, but boy, in my opinion, they didn't invest wisely. They slept all night while they were your age. They didn't have to get up with no baby. They didn't have to stay up with a sick child. They didn't have to run to the doctor and pay those doctor bills when they didn't have money to pay the rest of the bills. They didn't have to buy all the clothes and the food and do all that. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap. That goes for everything in life. But the Lord said that about the work of God and about living for God. We're investing for eternity. I mean, get that. The things that we go through here, They're laying up for us an eternal weight of glory. Mercy. Understand that. It ain't for nothing. It's not for just to make life hard for us. It's our faith being tried. It's increasing the reward in eternity for us. It's making it better in eternity. It's worth it. His heaviness is not punishment. It's not something that God puts on us to make us miserable. It's not an injustice that God's doing to us to let us have this heaviness and these manifold temptations. It's just for a season, if need be. Sometimes it's not for us. Sometimes it's for somebody else. How much encouragement have Christians got through all of the years and millennia here by reading about the troubles that others went through, like Job, like David, like Moses, like Abraham, like Noah? We read about all of them, and it helps us. What they had to endure, the heaviness they had to bear, the temptations, the manifold temptations they had to go through, made provision for us now. So endure it like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship. Endure the heaviness. Cheer up. Just look up. Look up to eternity. It's not God doing us wrong. It's not God treating us bad. It's not God punishing us. It's just part of the training to make us good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And it's what proves that our faith is the real thing. That's the kicker of this whole deal. The trial of our faith. This heaviness, these trials, these multiplied, manifold temptations are the very thing that reveals to us, to others, that our faith is real. You know, everybody will say, well, I believe in God. But let me tell you something, all faith is not saving faith, and we know that. And you may not even know your own faith. I don't think any of us did at the beginning. I don't think we really know even now. And it's necessary for our faith to be tried, so that we don't believe in a false hope and perish. Faith has to be tried. And faith that's real, real saving faith, will stand the trial, no matter what it is. I mean, the devil can unload all of hell's ammunition on you, and you'll rise up if your faith is real. Yes, sir. Just man falls seven times, but he riseth up again. Faith, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, which perisheth. Faith don't perish. Faith don't cease. Faith don't fall under the load. Real faith endures. Faith that's not real, counterfeit faith, imitation faith, pretend faith, a deceptive faith, it doesn't last. These trials put it under. And you know then that it wasn't the real thing. So faith has to be tried. The end of our faith is the salvation of our souls, verse 9. It's the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. We are kept by the power of God through faith, verse 5. Through faith is mentioned 15 times in the New Testament. So faith is of the utmost importance, much more precious than gold. And so it must be the right kind of faith, and to know that it must be, to know that it's got to be tested. You got to test it to find out. They do that with everything else in the world. They test it to see what it is. You've been to the doctor this week, some of you have, and they tested you to see what you had. They got tests to find out. If they build some machine, they test it. If they build a rocket, they test it. An airplane, they test it. They build a car, they test it first to see if it's going to work. And then we grab onto a faith and say, well, this will get me to heaven. And it won't even get them to church. Won't even get them out of their sinful living. And they think it's going to deliver them to heaven someday? No, sir. It won't get them through the trials of life. They faint, they get depressed, and all of that, just like the world. Not the right kind of faith. So faith is of the utmost importance. And faith that will not endure testing by fire will not get you to God, and it will not get you to heaven either. The heaviness transforms faith from an embryo to a full-grown man. That's what trials do to faith. Your faith, we go from faith to faith. What do you think that means? Well, let me tell you something. Your first cries of faith are just like that baby's first cry. You know he's alive. You know he's breathing. But that's about all. He can't do nothing else. But as he grows, he gets stronger. And he amounts to something much more. And that's just how faith is. That your first faith is, I mean, like baby cries, and then baby steps, and your faith grows. We go from faith to faith until you got the kind of faith that delivers you from this world and from sin and from everything around you. Faith that overcomes the world. Yeah. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And it can't do that in the very beginning. It can't do that until it's tested and tried and put through the fire, man, the fire. And there's more of a fire than somebody just mistreating you a little bit. There's more to the trial of your faith than you just having to give up some vice of yours. That ain't no trial of faith. The real trial of faith comes when it just... When everything around you says you are crazy for believing this. And when you got to stand alone. That's heavy. You feel that heaviness. Faith that has endured the trials to which God has subjected it looks very different than newborn faith that is immature and clinging. Be patient with people when they get saved. Remember, their faith is weak. Their faith hasn't been tried. Their faith is in an infant stage. Wait on them. Watch them. Wait until the trials come, which they will. People that don't ever have a trial of their faith don't have any faith. Simple as that. And when you see faith that's real and strong, you can bank on the fact that that faith has been tried by fire. Old Brother Harden over there, he comes to Brother Owen's meetings over there. His wife burned up in a house. They were old. I mean, they were old people. This happened, how long has it been? 7, 8 years? She had dementia, and he was having a time with her already. But he went to the store or something, and when he come back, the house was on fire, and she was in the house. And he could hear her calling for him, and he couldn't get to her. And she died in the fire. He'd been a preacher, since he was young. He's been a preacher and a pastor and evangelist and all of that. How would your faith fare? What do you think? Now, let me say this. We can't look at something like that and say, oh, I believe I could make it through that. No. That ain't the way it works. All of us. We've got these things. Like, the baby, the 3-year-old girl drowned in the pool down here a few weeks ago. We look at stuff like that and it just almost takes our breath away. We just think, oh, okay, what would we do? Well, you can't imagine what you'd do. It looks like there'd be no way to survive that. I seen old Brother Harden years ago. He still loves the Lord. He still preaches just like he always did. He still goes on, continues in the same thing that he's always believed. Just because that awful, horrible thing happened that's unimaginable. And we say, how can you do it? How can you lay down at night and not hear her? How can you deal with such a tragedy in your life? Well, real faith endures. And that's what the real trial of faith by fire, that's what it is. It looks impossible. That's the only way you know that it's real faith, because it came through the impossible. It came through shining, survived the fire. It wasn't demolished by the fire. We got these things, like this song, It Is Well With My Soul, and we all know the story behind that song. And I hate to be the one to bash everything, but that man did not survive the fire. Even though he wrote that song, in the long term, he didn't make it. His faith didn't make it. I could name some others like that too. Real faith makes it. It comes out the other side changed into something bigger, stronger, more unmovable, more settled. I don't believe anybody's going to come along and talk old Brother Harden out of serving God and loving Jesus. I just don't believe it's going to happen. I mean, if the devil couldn't do it with that, I don't believe he's going to come up with anything else. That's why the trial of faith happens, see. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Just for a season. God ain't going to let it go on forever. There's a limit to it. God knows. He's not going to allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. He'll help us, and we'll get through it. If our faith's real. If our faith's not real, what's God going to do? He's going to let it be destroyed. So that you can see, and so that others can see that what you had was not the real thing. Because He loves you. And because He don't want you to perish. And He don't want other people to have the same kind of faith you got that won't stand the trial. Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door. And here's the position I've taken on that. You know, I used to think, you know, the poor people, I mean, they're deceived, and you hate to just, you know, demolish. I think their faith ought to be demolished. I think they ought to be annihilated with what they believe. Because if you really care for them, you'll do that. You won't leave any room for them to stay believing what they believe and be comfortable with it.
Right.
You're not doing them any service, and you're not doing any good at all. God don't do that. God will allow your faith to be annihilated if it's fake.
Yep.
And He don't have one concern at all about you if your faith's real. He knows you'll make it. It's got me through some hard things, just knowing that God said He wouldn't let me be tempted above that which I was able to bear. So He thinks I'm going to make it through this. And that encouraged me to realize and believe myself, yeah, I'll make it. There will be a brighter day, and the sun will shine again. And it did. Once faith... those who are just beginning their journey and others who are immature in faith may wonder at the settled steadfastness of another's faith. And the reason is simply that it has been tried. There you go. And once faith has been through the fire and survived, it is purified. The junk is gone, and what remains is pure and therefore strong. We've all read about this as the refiner's fire. The Bible talks about the silver and the refiner's fire, and you know how they do it. They heat it, and the junk floats to the top, and they dip it off until there's nothing left but pure. That's the way faith is, tried by fire. You know, everybody in here, there's stuff you believe that I guarantee you, some few years from now, you ain't gonna believe that junk anymore. There's stuff that you don't believe now, and you just can't accept that if your faith's real and it's tried by fire with God, there's a few years down the road here, you're gonna believe that you had such a hard time with. I can tell you, right here's one. Yes, sir. Right here's one. Stuff I used to believe, I don't believe anymore. Because the trials purified it out. Burn it out. And there's stuff that I had a hard time swallowing that I now fully believe. That's the way it is. And I got it from fire. My faith got cleaned up. That's what the fire does. Our faith has been through the fire and survived. It's purified. Gold doesn't increase in the fire. It decreases in quantity. So does silver. So does anything else that's purified by fire. When you get done, there's less of it. But what's left is the pure stuff. Think about that. Even gold that is purified will perish in the end. But faith that is tried will never perish. Faith will become sight one day. Faith will become, the present reality. We know there's other places in the world. There's Hawaii and there's France and there's Russia and all these places. But you can't see them right now. You're not there. You're just believing by faith that they're there. They're not. You're not experiencing them. You just see pictures of it. People talk about it. You may hear somebody talk from there, and you say, boy, they got a different accent. Listen to that. Well, they must be from Australia, down under. Well, it's kind of that way here, too. You know, someday you're going to find yourself, if you're a child of God and your faith's been tried, you're going to find yourself in the very presence of God, in that country that we've been looking for so long. And it ain't going to be no fantasy, and it ain't going to be no dream, and it ain't going to be something you're looking forward to anymore. You're going to be there. You're going to look down at your feet and say, am I really standing in this place? Is this really? Oh, yes, it is. Faith that has made it through the fiery trials produces a liberty in the soul that just can't be understood by those who've not been tried or who have no faith. It's like Dorothy's been learning about a butterfly and where a butterfly comes from and a caterpillar. It's like that. It's like that caterpillar that's transformed into a butterfly. Ain't it wonderful that God did something like that, made something like that? What do you think He made it that way for? That caterpillar is so ugly and slimy and nasty looking and that the colors are there. And he crawls into this place and wraps himself up. And you know what goes on inside that cocoon? Chrysalis. He turns to liquid. His whole body is just dissolved into liquid. And then it reforms into another creature. And when he comes out of there, he's a butterfly with wings that have the same colors. The color pattern is the same as the caterpillar was. That's amazing. But it's such a picture of what we're talking about here. What is your faith that you've got right now? What's it going to look like in eternity? Well, just about like that caterpillar looks compared to the butterfly. There's going to be traces of the same appearance. The same. You're going to be able to recognize it. You're going to look back on it and you're going to wonder at it. And you're going to be very thankful for it. And you're going to be very thankful for the trials and the fires that God put it through to purify it and to make it the real thing that could get you through. Faith that is tried will be found in the end unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, Peter said here. I'm glad he put that in there. He just summed it all up. He covered the whole thing. Faith that is tried will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Right now it's not. It's ridiculed now. Now it's hated. It's spoken evil of. Right now it's under heaviness. But it will not always be that way. And those who are in heaviness now will shine when it's over. Faithfulness or unfaithfulness will not be praised. Faithlessness, let me rephrase that. Faithlessness or unfaithfulness will not be praised or honored, but true faith will. Do y'all understand this? There's just going to be, it's just like Jesus said, few there be that find it. Straight is the gate, narrow the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. There's going to be a lot of praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But there's going to be a lot of other things that are not so wonderful for people. There's going to be a bunch of people, Jesus said, who's going to say, Lord, Lord, what do you mean? Depart. Haven't we done many marvelous works in your name? He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. No faith. Oh, they had a form of faith, but it wasn't real. It wasn't tried. What kind of trial of faith do you think these jokers have ever had who claim to be God's spokesman, who are filthy rich, flying around in multiple private jets they own, and telling everybody they can stop tornadoes? And Kenneth Copeland, that's what he says, he can pray and just stop a tornado. His wife said that. Well, I'd like to see him do it. Wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
What kind of trial has that kind of faith ever been through? When they fell short on their offering, that they was the goal they had. You remember, what was the guy out in Oklahoma? Oral Roberts, remember? He seen a 900-foot Jesus. And he said if he didn't get so much money by a certain date, God was going to kill him. And they fell short, but God didn't kill him. But he had an explanation for that. God just gave him an extension. More time to raise the money. What kind of trial of faith does people like it have? No, that ain't real faith. I'll just tell you plain out, I know it's easy to tell. That's not the real thing. Real faith is in real people that just have real families and children and work real jobs and they just live their normal life trying to live for God. And they have their hardships and their troubles and their trials and their oppositions and difficulties of life, and they keep on believing in God and looking to eternity. And their faith is tried, and that's the kind of faith that's going to be honor and glory and praise at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. How much has your faith been tried? Have you ever thought about it? Do you welcome the trials? Can you endure the trials? Will your faith endure? Well, if it won't get you to church, and if it won't get you out of your self-will, it ain't the kind of faith that'll get you to heaven. I can promise you that. Amen. Let's stand. Pray for one another. Pray for the church. Pray for us here. Pray we can go forward. Pray about the property. I didn't mention that today, but pray about that. Pray the Lord's will be done in that. People are knowing about it. We've got a couple of different calls. People, they think we're going to sell the whole thing. They want to buy that little house. Boy, they got their eye on that little house to buy and rent. And pray. Pray that the Lord will help us in it. You going to keep believing God? No matter what happens. I mean, I made up my mind a long time ago and I had no idea what lay in store. But I was determined. I thought I could do it and I was going to do it. And all that. But if I would have known that day what I would face, I don't. That's the way God is. He don't reveal to you way out yonder in the future. He just says, will you trust me today? And then will you trust me tomorrow? Yeah. Yeah. There's an old lady in the room with Miss Ruby down at the nursing home. An old black lady. And that's what she said to me every time I talked to her. I said, well, how are you doing, Miss Jean? Oh, just one day at a time. Just one day at a time. Just got to do one day at a time, she said, over and over. Amen. There used to be a song we sang, One Day at a Time. Remember that song? Help me to make it one day at a time. That's how you do it. Father, thank you for the word of God. Please bless it to hearts. Help us, Lord, in this thing here. I pray to encourage us to realize that our faith be tried. And if it's real, we'll know. And others will know. And we'll be strengthened. And Lord, there's a day coming when we'll be glad for the trials and the heaviness and the tribulation and the temptation that came our way. Help us, Lord, to realize it in the midst of it. And do like all these that came before us did. They kept their eyes on eternity and on Jesus. And Lord, on your promises. And on the certain future that's bright. And the freedom that awaits us from this veil of sorrow down here. Please help us, Lord. Help these young ones to understand these things as much as they can. And to keep this knowledge in their heart and mind. And Lord, go with us now. Please bless our church and help us. Please may the word of God go forth and be a blessing and a help to folks that listen in Jesus' name. Amen.